Are you holding a big red, white, and blue Q? Why do you have that?
It's a movement, man. It's the shift. I can feel it coming. Some call it the Great Awakening.
You're wearing a shirt that says QWWG1WGA. What does that mean?
It means where we go one, we go all.
QAnon is the people that believe in what Trump's trying to do to change our country.
Oh, yeah, my favorite podcast is the Sick and Wrong Podcast. Because it's a very good podcast. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a funny, 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 funny show. Sick and Wrong Podcast is a wonderful podcast. It's a miraculous podcast. It's like the best podcast in the whole wide, wide, wide world.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world's source for antisocial commentary. I'm one of your hosts, C. Simon.
And I am Harrison.
Harrison, what's going on over there? You look like you haven't slept in days.
Do I?
Kinda.
Really?
I know, maybe you haven't showered recently or something.
I haven't showered today. I swam in the pool yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, that kind of counts.
I feel like that should count.
Well, it looks like you've been like, maybe it's the upcoming trip to Edinburgh. It's got you all flustered.
I'm a fucking mess.
We're only a couple days away.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. Anytime before I travel, I'm just a total mess.
You get all Rain Man.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you're all like just sitting there like,
because everything always goes wrong.
Definitely a good driver running around. Yeah.
Everything always goes wrong.
It's like, uh-oh, fart.
I call an Uber and it's like a pedicab, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. And I can't, and then it's like I get to the airport and then it's like I don't have my passport and then everything is fucking, you know. These things happen to me. It never works out well.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of how I'm going to ensure that you bring the merch that we're going to have for the show. Because we're going to have like t-shirts and stuff like that for sale. We actually have the new Quado tees that we're going to be shipping to all the Patreon people. But also we'll have some available for at the live show. But we're trying to figure out like, how do you carry this on a plane? I don't even know. Yeah. So I think what's going to end up happening here is I'll probably end up just taking all the shirts myself or something. But there's a fuckload of them. And probably going to need like at least another suitcase for that.
Yeah.
God, I hate traveling.
I do too.
Anyway.
What do you do with your cat? Luckily, I found a friend of mine to watch him, so I got to take him over to my friend's house.
You take your cat over to the...
Yeah.
But the cat must love that.
Oh, she hates it. But the thing is, it's like, I can't, like, what are you doing?
Well, we have our neighbor.
Yeah.
He'll just come over and take care of the cat.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not that big of a deal for us.
I like to have somebody stay with the fucking cat, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If we didn't have our neighbor who lives next door to come over and take care of the cat, we probably would actually pay someone just to stay with the cat.
Yeah. The thing is, it's like, nobody wants to do that, which is weird.
Well, I would be nervous staying in your apartment. What are you going to find in there?
I would clean it up before anybody stayed in there. But like, no, it's like, hey,
hole
this is
the ground with a
it's
fat
August.
Chick.
There's a pool. You want to fucking, you know, I know people with AC. People don't want to stay outside of their own homes. It's weird. And it's just very, and the only person I know that would want to do it, I don't trust to be in the house because he'll have like weird meth people over and probably end up getting me evicted somehow.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be some kind of orgy.
So it's like, fuck.
And then what are you gonna do? Yeah, and then the cat is gonna have to be like tainted with watching it, and and it's not gonna go well. It's all so stressful. Well, I'm glad you're like pulling it together, and still able to do some research for the show.
Yeah.
Recording like back-to-back episodes here. So this week we're actually tackling something that is fairly topical. It's kind of weird because it's been around for a while.
I've been reading about it for a while now.
I've probably been reading about it since like, I don't know, October last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then now all of a sudden it's just mainstream media is having a field day with it. We're talking about QAnon, the whole QAnon conspiracy thing that's going on right now that I guess started to become more prominent in the news cycle because there were Trump supporters at the rallies that he's been doing recently, the whole Russia Manafort trial distraction rallies he's been doing. And in the background of Trump on the podium, you see people holding like big Q signs.
Sure.
Or wearing Q shirts. And everyone's like, what's this Q? And then the media starts like, you know, throwing out their definitions of it and theories about what Q means. And now they're saying it's all this this conspiracy theory. But it's vague. It's complicated. Somewhat nonsensical, I would say.
Yeah.
And has many branches. But just to kind of sum it up, they say it's based, it all started last year in 4chan on a message board called Breadcrumbs.
Right.
Breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs, the author here, was claimed he was a member of the federal government with Q clearance.
Right.
Q clearance. That's a security authorization at the Department of Energy that would grant someone top secret access to national security info.
Okay, is that real?
That is a real term, Q clearance.
Okay.
And so this guy,
I thought it was just like secret, top secret, and something else.
No, it's if you have Q clearance, you have that's a Department of Energy authorization.
I see. Okay.
And so this guy did, or at least claimed to have that.
Right.
And and all of a sudden, and then Q is a security clearance. Anon is for anonymous because no one knows who the guy is. Hmm. So QAnon, there you go. And then shortly thereafter, the Book of Q was being circulated, I guess via like Reddit and 4chan. I'm not even quite clear what the Book of Q is.
It's basically just a 4chan data dump. I've read it.
Theories?
Of theories of well, to them they're not theories, but of everything they believe that's going to go on in the Great Awakening and the storm. You know, the storm.
Yeah, so... Isn't the crux kind of Donald Trump secretly fighting a global cabal of pedos?
Yeah, because that thing...
Has something to do with pedophiles.
Yeah, that thing when he said, like, this is the calm before the storm. It's like he's been secretly gathering evidence and, you know, a military, you know, a branch of the military to help him bring down all of the pedophiles that, you know, run the government and the deep state. Like, you know, Hillary Clinton and, for some reason, Tom Hanks... And all these other random people
that are part of this whole pedophile ring,
yes.
Barack Obama and all that.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't get: why are they so like in hysterics over pedophiles? Like it reminds me of the Satanic Panic thing, but right wing nutters, freak the fuck out about pedophiles.
Yes.
Why pedophiles? Were they molested as kids? Like, what would do they just worry that they're coming for our children? Like, why the whole pedophile hysteria?
I mean, I think this is the 80s. The media has always tried to, especially like the nightly news, has always tried to sensationalize that, you know, pedophiles as a threat. So now these people almost certainly have kids. So it's a concern to them.
I guess.
And also just YouTube. It's like, you know, it's like the 9/11 videos. It's like the fucking Pentagon videos. Hey, you watch a video on YouTube and you're like, oh my God, it's real because it's very convincing.
But the easiest way to get these conspiracy right wingers started on a wormhole here is to start throwing out a theory about pedophiles and the pedophile ring or Pizzagate or John Podesta, you know, somebody, you know, is operating a pedophile ring. And then the next thing you know, they're all freaking out about it.
Well, the weird thing is that most political conspiracies are like, you know, even some of the ones that are like heinous and impeachable or whatever, they're pretty fucking boring. Like even Watergate, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, this is like exciting. It's like, oh my God, pedophiles rule. And we're going to get into this like it's even crazy. Like it's whoa.
Yeah, you know? I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So part of the thing here with Q is they think every president before Trump.
Yeah.
Was a criminal who was part of an evil global organization of Satanist pedophiles.
Yeah.
Satanic pedophiles here.
Did you watch The Strain?
I never watched that. That was the miniseries. Isn't that based on Stephen King?
No.
Guillermo
del Toro.
Oh, okay. That was one of the vampires, right?
Did you watch Blade 3?
I did see Blade 3.
Do you remember the one where it's like, now we're going to just like factory farm humans to drink their blood?
Yeah, that was...
This is kind of a lot like that.
But what are they saying?
It's like just... That.
You mean Q?
Yeah, a lot of the theories in Q. Because Q isn't just one thing. The media's saying... There's a lot of different parts of it. But pedivores is a big part of it.
Well, so they claim Trump's is not under investigation by Robert Mueller, but that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are, and Trump is actually working with Mueller to break up the pedophile ring.
Mm.
It's all part of it.
I heard that Robert Mueller is actually Herman Munster.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's what I heard. So,
you know, I guess Q regularly drops clues that the followers call crumbs.
Yeah.
You know, and so in the last few months, it's really taken off, and the QAnon people have become more bold, and that's why you're seeing their signs and their swag and their shirts and all that at these rallies. And most recently, and this is what we're about to get into, you know, it's become, you know, there's actually like violence involved,
right.
And then the police are involved, and you have groups like Veterans on Patrol who organized under the Operation Backyard Brawl group here. So what exactly is going on with this?
Okay. I decided that we should get into Backyard Brawl because this is such a big spanning thing. And now the mainstream media is like talking about it in general.
It's kind of like come off of the internet and now into real life.
Yes. Yeah.
The theories.
And well, if you remember a couple of months ago or something like that, the DOJ was supposed to release some report that would detail all the pedophilia and the deep state shit.
It's always going to be the pedophiles.
And it didn't. And they were like, Trump released the second DOJ report. And some guy got so upset that he took all his guns and assault rifles and drove to the Hoover Dam and then just like shut it down. Because he's like, you got to release the things.
But that was after Backyard Brawl, though, right? It was around the same time.
Actually, I think it was a little before it.
Oh.
Because Backyard Brawl also had a lot of people coming to Tucson, to the desert in Tucson, to help look for pedophile camps in the desert.
That's the thing. They came across a homeless camp in Tucson. It was this Arizona veterans charity called Veterans on Patrol.
Right.
And some for some reason, this homeless camp was deemed a child sex camp.
Yes.
What constitutes a child sex camp?
Well, if you look, I have a picture of it now. And basically what it looks like is this is part of the desert where there are trees, which is kind of rare.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of like, you know, Robinson Family Caruso or whatever the fuck they were called.
The Swiss Family Robinson.
Swiss Family Robinson. Caruso.
Oh, yeah, or is it like the Italian
version?
Swiss
Family Robinson, David Caruso. Okay? You know, they built like little lean-tos and fucking like, almost looks like a kid's fort, but it's actually just like, you know, they hang tarps from the trees so they can have shade from the goddamn sun. It's Tucson, right?
But to me, it would be like, okay, a bunch of, you know, homeless people camping out.
Yeah.
We see that all the time here in LA.
We do see that all the time here in LA. But what they thought was that, where's that other picture?
I mean, if I saw diapers with some blood stains on them, then I would be like, okay, something weird's happening here.
Well, no, they found a bunch of garbage because it was like a lot of garbage. Okay. They found like, I don't know, child's underwear. They found supposedly a bloody knife. And then they claim that when the police came, the police are like, yeah, you're trespassing. And then the police got rid of the evidence. But it was, I don't know if you've ever been to like a weird dumpy area where homeless people hang out.
Yeah.
You're going to find a bunch of nonsense.
Well, they sleep in garbage.
A shopping cart full of like really weird, disturbing things if you took them out of context.
Well, it's shit that they picked up off the ground.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of them have bloody knives.
Yeah. Because people, they'll pick up like big bags of clothes and, you know, garbage bags people throwing out, and they'll go through them to find clothes. So there's like children's clothes in there, obviously.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like if there was like an Elmo doll with a strap-on dildo on it or something, then I would be concerned. Yeah. I'd be like, something awry is happening here.
And Veterans on Patrol found this stuff, and they're like, oh my God, this is crazy. And they believe that the straps hanging from the trees were actually like to bind the children. So it was like a child sex camp.
Just overactive imaginations. I mean, these guys want to believe in these vampire Satanist pedophiles.
Yeah.
So they're creating this narrative.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, they found all the... And the Tucson police were like, guys, this is just a homeless camp. They all look like this. They all hang fucking tarps from trees. You guys got to get out of here. You're trespassing.
I mean, I don't see any tangible evidence to make me think it's like a child sex camp.
No, the only thing is like, they're like, oh my God, there's a child's Ronald McDonald, you know, Happy Meal toy here. And there's like a children's underwear here. And here's like just...
Coincidence? I think not. Rent. Pedophiles.
And the Tucson police were like, no, there's nothing here. You guys got to get out of here. And they're like, the Tucson police are in on it. You know, the FBI is in on it. So then there's like, they started putting out these videos of like, you got to come out here. So you got to, let me play this. Let me play just like these little clips of here. Right? So here's a couple of short clips.
And I've got one veteran and he has one long rifle. All right, and we are going to occupy the top of this tower, and we are going to watch down there where we recovered the bloody knife and the women's clothes and all that shit that was buried. We had to stop digging, guys. But we're going to stand up here, and they ain't going to be able to get up here, all right? It's going to take them a while. They're going to have to go through phases.
Yeah, so basically, they took over a fucking a tower, you know, and they were like, police, try to, you know, get us. We have guns. Try to get us off this property. You know, they have a picture up right now. It says they have a sign that says like hunting coyotes open season. And they just like hold themselves up in a fucking tower
near the child sex
camp. Yeah. Near the child
sex camp. Just to observe it.
And it's on private property. Yeah. Because they believe that there was another camp supposedly. And they believe that the police would bulldoze that and get rid of all the evidence. So here's a little second clip here from the same guy.
Start scanning the deserts. We're going to hold this ground. You go find other camps to tie into what's happening here. And you have our word. We'll stand up here and we won't let no one take us down. We'll keep watching that sex camp down there. We will watch. We've got this whole area. We will watch. Get your ass down along the corridor and start searching for other camps.
Yeah, so motherfuckers like actually like drove from states away to help.
So they got like a bunch of vigilante pedo hunters.
Yes.
Are coming out here.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, I mean, obviously you've heard a lot of the weirder stuff about Q, like JFK Jr. faked his own death to run it, that kind of thing. But there's some weird things connected with this. Like, you know, they believe that like JonBenet Ramsey, all these people connected with her case, like her psychiatrist or
a bunch of other people
were killed recently.
Really?
Like her old psychiatrist. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Oh, okay, that didn't really happen.
I think maybe somebody was...
So I'm telling you that the line between reality and fiction is becoming blurred.
Yeah, it is. But here's the most interesting thing. They this land, I guess, was a you know, they had hundreds of acres. This company called CMEX, which is a big-ass fucking company.
CMEX.
They make cement.
Wait, so they own the land where the homeless slash sex camp is located.
Yeah. Well, it's more so that they have a big factory and they own acres and acres and acres of desert land around this factory.
And some homeless people just happen to be camping.
To be camping there.
And quick question. Did the pedo hunters find any homeless sex traffickers living on the site?
No.
So they didn't find anything. They just found some buried clothing, maybe a kid's shoe, bloody knife, and just a bunch of random objects that they assume is all part of a child sex camp.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. We found boxes full of kids' toys and condoms. We may have seen graves. The cartel is involved. CMEX Construction is involved because apparently CMEX, like, the guy who runs, it's owned partially by the Bronfmans and the Rothschilds, who are connected to the Clintons, who give money to the Clintons and stuff like that.
And the Illuminati and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So they're very, and of course, I don't know, George Soros owns $41 million worth of CMEX.
You got to throw stock. That guy in there.
Yeah, he's always involved. And the weirdest thing about this is I saw some posts on 4chan and 8chan, which I'm now a regular reader of, guys.
You're a regular reader of both of those.
Which is the Nazi 4chan.
8chan.
4chan isn't the Nazi 4chan. Like, 8chan makes 4chan looks like the fucking anti-defamation league.
Wasn't 8 some kind of Nazi symbol?
Yeah, 88 is a Nazi symbol. Yeah. So what they've realized is that there's a patent, and this is real, there's a patent that CEMEX put in with the government to do a new kind of cement that has blood in it.
Blood in the cement.
Blood in the cement.
Just as a coagulant?
Coagulant. And suppose if you read, it's, you just look it up. It's on Google, you know.
Human blood or children's blood?
That's what they're thinking. That's what they're thinking. It doesn't specify what kind of blood. Apparently, when you have cement and there's like air bubbles inside the cement when it's forming, that can seriously affect, you know, structural integrity over years and years and years. Apparently, blood like gets rid of that. And that was a secret that the ancient Romans had and that the ancient Romans used when they built all their shit.
You know, they probably killed children, had sex with them, and then drained their blood.
Oh, I do not doubt that at all. But, they that's why their buildings are fucking still around. They had cement techniques that we haven't even figured out yet. Like, they could actually pour, like, if they need to make a dock and pour, like, a stone pillar underwater... a concrete pillar underwater. They had a way for like to put it underwater and then have it harden underwater.
Like an aqueduct, right?
Like in the ocean, like have cement. We still can't do that. It's bizarre. So anyway, blood apparently it was used as a thing in ancient Rome, and now they're trying to do it again. Or at least they had a patent for it. I don't know if they did it.
It actually makes sense, though. I mean, why would you like all the animals that we slaughter to eat? Drain their blood and use it for building, structures. Why not?
There's also that weird idea that Freemason Masonic idea that when you are an architect and you create a new building, there has to be a sacrifice. Somebody has to die, you know.
Whose idea is that?
It was like the guy who what was his name? Hawksmoor, the guy who built all of the weird. This is just a theory, but the guy who built all those weird spires in London, all the weird churches that look very phallic pagan obelisks at the top of their church, like the Spitalfields one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Near Jack the Ripper's bullshit. Yeah, there's an idea.
So someone was sacrificed to make that building.
There's this idea about architecture in the past that was a thing.
It's like a blessing.
I've never heard any of these people bring that up. I'm just bringing that up because I'm a weirdo.
So now the Q faction here, they think that CEMEX is harvesting the blood. CEMEX is harvesting the blood from the children that are being raped at the sex camp.
Yeah.
Is it like a manufacturing line here? Like the homeless people get the kids from Hillary Clinton. They do all their raping. Then they murder them. Then they drain the blood, sell it over to CEMEX, and then they make the bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Now I totally get it. And it's retarded.
Well, I mean, you gotta understand.
Jesus.
You gotta understand. There's this. Have you heard of Frazzle Drip?
No, is that?
And this is, you know, obviously, I only wanted to get into
is that
much
one of the Fraggles?
Shit to this. Yes, he is.
Yes. Okay.
He was the one that dynamited tunnels for them and ended up killing like a third of the Fraggle race.
The gay one. Yeah. The maniacal gay one.
Yep. The maniacal gay one. There's so much stuff to this. You know, I wanted to stick to Operation Backyard Brawl, but there's a video, I supposedly on the dark web that's been going around called they're calling it Frazzle Drip. It's about pedivore and other things like that. And it was supposedly a video housed in Anthony Weiner's laptop in a file folder called Life Insurance. That shows violence by Huma Abedin and Hillary Rodham Clinton against an underage girl. They cut off her skin, they wear it, they sexually violate her.
Wait, there's a video of the two of them.
Yep.
Have you seen this video?
No, it's on the dark web. It's probably very hard to find.
Wow, I guarantee one of our listeners can find that.
I don't think.
Are they wearing masks? I
don't think there's a video, D.
No, I don't think. I think this video is about as real as Trump's piss. Actually, Trump's piss tape might be more real than this video.
Yeah.
Although I'd like to see both. So if you can find them, send the Sacred Run Podcast to hotmail.com.
I think somebody just has a really degraded VHS copy of Hellraiser 2 or something. That's what this sounds like.
Yeah, well,
like it sounds.
I mean, to me, it sounds like a snuff film or something that someone filmed their basement.
That female Cenobite kind of looks like Huma Abedin. Like, I guess maybe that, I could see it.
So I don't get it. They're wearing a skin coat of the kid?
Yep.
How does it fit them? Like, don't you think it would be kind of tight?
It would be kind of tight.
I mean, I guess you could stretch it. I mean, skin's kind of stretchy.
Baby tee.
All right.
But I mean, it's like, look, you know, obviously I'm not a fan of Trump. I'm definitely not a fan of Hillary Clinton either.
No.
Like,
giant douche versus turd sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, she's a terrible person. Honestly, I'd probably rather have her.
As
awful as
I think she is. I'm assuming she'd be a better president than what we currently have. Right. However, both of them are pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think either one are raping children and wearing their skin as coats.
My point is, she's terrible enough without becoming some kind of fucking Cenobite. You know what I mean? Well, she's a bad enough terrible person to, you know.
But what amazes me is the fact that people were able to convince people to believe that she's a lizard person, that she's part of this cabal of pedophiles and all this. It's amazing that these myths can circulate like that, and people are actually like, yeah, I subscribe to that theory.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's utterly insane, regardless of how deep your hatred is of this woman. Really? You think she's like a lizard lady that's raping kids and wearing their skin?
Yeah. No, it's like
what preposterous.
She's just a creature of at this point, a pure, greed, ambition, and narcissism.
Like
and
most really, politicians.
Yeah, and really the only difference between her and Trump is, well, not policy-wise, but...
Orange complexion,
and that Trump has kind of a Tony Clifton quality that it allows him to actually motivate people, you know?
Yeah, well, and they seem to buy into his bullshit more than Hillary's.
He can work a crowd.
Oh yeah,
you know,
showman.
Yeah,
it's great, like a PC Barnum type.
Yeah, I mean,
whereas Hillary just didn't have that charisma.
Yeah,
not unlike her husband. I mean, that guy had it.
He definitely had it.
Hillary's just so lame.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, and look at her. God, everything about her sucks.
Yeah,
she
can't even work her staff, you know.
Although Huma, I always found Huma to be kind of attractive.
I did too. Did you ever see that Wiener documentary?
The Wiener documentary?
Yeah.
Is that what you call porn films now?
Yeah, that's what I call them.
No, I never actually saw it.
Oh, you got to see it. It's the greatest thing in the world.
That guy is just a weirdo. That guy,
he is.
If someone said that guy's wearing children's skin as coats or gloves or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. He's a weird dude.
The best thing about the documentary is, because it was before the second or third scandal or whatever, and he was like running for mayor. And you could tell, even by that point, Huma had decided to stay with him. And she just fucking hates his guts. Like, you could just tell through the conversations they have. She's like, motherfucker. And then it's like when the final thing, shit hits the fan at the end of the documentary, she's just like, fuck you.
I'm out of here.
Like, I've never seen or heard that much just dripping hatred coming from a woman. And you could totally understand it.
I can completely empathize with her on that. So getting back to Operation Backyard Brawl,
right?
This became a hashtag on Twitter, became it trended. I'm trying to think of what ended up happening. What was the result? Like, I saw that they convinced the local authorities, not even convinced, forced the local authorities to investigate. They brought a cadaver dog, found nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. So then after that, were they just like, okay, we give up. I guess we were wrong about this.
At one point, even Alex Jones disavowed it and was like, this is just to make us look stupid. Stop with this. All right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because that kind of brings me to my next point about this whole Q thing. There's now a conspiracy about, it's become meta. There's a conspiracy about the conspiracies where people think the whole QAnon thing is just a giant prank.
Right.
It's a giant prank on far-right conservatives.
And that is really interesting, because if you've ever... And I've been doing a lot of research, and I go on some of these forums and I talk to people. They are fucking suspicious of anyone.
Yeah.
Because they think everyone's trying to troll them and everyone's trying to make them look stupid. And I don't know how they got, you know, this Q. If that's true, this Q got so much pull with them.
Well, I mean, they obviously have a suggestive mindset if you can, like, play into their narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to believe that Hillary's evil. They want to believe that they're paranoid. They want to believe that there's a deep state conspiracy. I mean, these people are already suggestive. So if you can play into that narrative, I don't think it'd be that difficult to commit. I mean, look at Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of QAnon, this is what's weird about it. So QAnon supporters, for the most part, are a bit older than most of your far-right internet trolls. I mean, most of those far-right internet trolls, like the guys you saw, you know, at the rallies, the white supremacist rallies holding the torches. I mean, those guys are probably, what, 30s?
Yeah.
You know, 40s? A lot of these QAnon people, if you see the pictures of them, and I think I sent you a couple Q pictures. Mm. Did you get any of those?
Yeah, I threw them on.
Oh, you threw them? Yeah. They're older people.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people are attending these rallies, like people in their 60s. So it's like, you know, they're quite a bit older than a lot of the typical internet trolls that would be in 4chan. Not to mention, you look at someone like Roseanne Barr. She's a vocal supporter. She posts on Twitter that WWG1WGA. Have you seen right. that?
Yeah.
It's shorthand.
Where we go one, we go all.
Where we go one, we go all, which yeah. I'm not even sure what that means.
I guess it's like some kind of like, let's make the Three Musketeers logo, you know, motto, but make it stupid.
Just make it stupider.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's like you got these older far-right people that are totally believing, totally buying into this. And a lot of the younger far-right internet personalities are somewhat divided on it. A lot of people think it's just like, I don't know. It seems like, what's his name? Jack Posobiec. I don't know if you've seen that guy. But he's been debunking all the Q stuff
sure.
and saying that's ridiculous and it's making us look bad. Mm. And so now a lot of people are starting to believe that was meant to be a prank on older conservatives done by like far left people on 4chan.
You know, whenever I hear where we go one, where we go all, I think about the Three Musketeers and then I erroneously associate that with the Bryan Adams song from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Is that the
I'd
one by?
I'd die for you. That's, I'd die for you.
Is it Bryan Adams?
Bryan Adams.
Bryan it? Adams. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That.
You know it's true.
Everything I do it for you.
I do it for Q.
You know, that yeah. actually should be a good theme song.
Yeah.
For Q.
Mm-hmm.
So what people are saying now, that it looks more and more likely that Q is actually a prank by anarchists to make the far right look really deranged. And they're pointing to this Italian leftist collective called Wu Ming Foundation, who published a book that's really similar to the tenets of QAnon. This book came out in 99. There are three guys that published it, a lot of Italian names here, but they wrote under the name Luther Blissett, and they published an Italian novel called Q.
The Wu Ming Foundation?
I guess that's
the name of
their collective.
Isn't it the name of the girl from The Crow?
Wu Ming?
The Asian girl from The Crow.
God, I don't even remember.
Okay.
God, that movie is forgettable.
Yeah.
I heard they're
yeah.
remaking that one.
I rewatched it recently, so, yeah.
You know,
it's a shame he died, but man, that guy could not act. God damn.
Quick tangent. When I was in high school, that movie came out, and I worked at a movie theater, and like every Friday night, yeah. all the hot goth chicks from around the area, anyone who was goth, would come there at midnight to watch that movie.
Oh, sure.
And I loved it because at the end, after they left, I'd just go in there and just pick up joints off the ground and half-drink beers. It was like part of my whole social life.
Yeah.
So anyway, this book came out called Q, published under a pseudonym called Luther Blissett, which was a name regularly adopted in the 90s by anarchists and troublemakers in Italy. It basically is like a Guy Fawkes type of anonymous mask.
And anarchists in Italy are the kind who have those black round bombs with the string that comes up the top. Yeah.
Like a Rocky and Bullwinkle kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I think that's what the Italian anarchists are. Yeah.
So this group is still around. And they all share the name Luther Blissett, but they now operate under the name Wu Ming or No Name. Okay. And so the plot of their novel, Q, that came out in 99, very similar to the basics of the QAnon conspiracy theory. You know, they believe the same thing. It's basically their Q is a handbook for activists who want to disrupt society. So you look at it now and you're wondering, like, well, what's the point? So it makes sense to me that there's a bunch of anarchists on 4chan. They're just like, let's just make up this thing Q. I mean, there's this book that already is talking about the dark meanders of top state power, just like our book, be pretty easy to posit these theories. You know, one of the other things, too, they say that Luther Blissett used to be described as an entity of 10 people of high security clearance. The other weird thing is one of the popular theories of QAnon is that JFK Jr. faked his own death in 99, same year Q was first published.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. And QAnon followers refer to this book as Old Q, and okay. This is New Q.
Huh.
So who knows?
How similar is the book? Is there pedophilia and fucking...
Yeah, I mean, there's just a bunch of theories on how to disrupt society.
Okay.
And that there's like a deep state that's going on, you know, trying to control people.
You know, I gotta say...
You should check out the book. I mean, I haven't seen it, but...
I gotta say, because like, I'm not, you know, obviously I don't like the administration. I love this world we live in now. I gotta say...
Well, you're all about conspiracy theories and things like this. You know, I mean, it's every day there's something new.
And who's to say what's true, man? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Who's to say? What's a fact? What does it mean?
So what's weird about it, they're talking about this. This book came out a few months before the 99 protests against the WTO in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And it became sort of a night table book for a generation of activists.
Okay.
It was successful across Europe and in most English-speaking world except for the U.S., where it got bad reviews and sold poorly.
Okay.
Yeah, and only circulated in activist circles. So the three authors that wrote it here are convinced that QAnon started as a prank. However, they warn that that doesn't make it less dangerous.
Right.
Even though it's a big joke. I mean, you're seeing things like Operation Backyard Brawl, where you have guys with guns ready to kill homeless people who are camping because they think they're like sex, you know, operating a sex camp.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like they're calling cops to bring out cadaver dogs. So they do say something kind of interesting here. They say, let's take for granted for a while that QAnon started as a prank in order to trigger right-wing weirdos and have a laugh at them, make them look deranged. There's no doubt now it's become something very different. At a certain level, it still seems like a prank, but who's pulling it on whom?
Hmm.
That's why I ask you, Harrison. Who's pranking whom at this point?
That's a great question.
I don't know.
It's like one of those movies about con men, and you know what I mean?
Well, it's at this point... We don't even know who the joke... I mean, it makes sense to me that there's some, you know, anarchist types on 4chan. They're like, this would be really funny.
Right.
Let's just make this up and let's just, you know, throw this out there and see if it picks up. But now at this point where you have people really believing it, you know, and creating all these insane theories and actually, like, blocking the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's funny anymore.
Yeah.
I find it funny. But
I
haven't been personally affected by it.
I'd like to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens here.
Uh-huh.
This is episode 647 here, Sick and Wrong. We have new stories coming up next. Phone calls a little bit later. But first, here's a word about our Patreon page.
Do you need more Sick and Wrong in your life? Do you need one more news story to make you feel normal? Are three phone calls barely enough to feed the raging beast of desire? Well, then it's time for you to get the help you need and become a Sick and Wrong patron. Sign up at patreon.com/sickandwrong and you'll have access to exclusive Patreon-only content such as news stories, extra phone calls, and much, much more. Become a patron today and help us make a better Sick and Wrong for tomorrow. That's patreon.com/sickandwrong.
First story we have here has to do with a guy who put his own bodily fluids in a coworker's water bottle.
Oh, my.
I think you can imagine which bodily fluid was put into his female coworker's mug. You know, women, you don't ever hear women doing this type of nefarious activity.
No, although apparently that's like, if you do that, it's like some kind of witchcraft or some shit.
If a woman does it? Or you mean if anyone does it?
Yeah, if a woman puts period blood in, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's hoodoo or some shit.
We have semen. I guess we have urine too. But women have so many other kinds of secretions that they could do. They could squeeze a tampon in your sandwich or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Women just never do this.
Right.
It's always men that resort to this type of revenge.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what compels you to do it. It's like when you're all out of options, it's like, well, I always got the semen. I can always weaponize my semen against her or him.
Well, there's a certain, you know, there's like the idea of it being a prank, and there's the idea of them getting turned on by it. Because it's like, she's drinking my seed.
Yes. You put some thought into this.
I have a remarkable empath ability. You know, I could put my mind in other mindsets. I can understand this.
This is one of my biggest fears.
Yeah.
Not necessarily semen, just any bodily fluid into something that I like imbibe or ingest.
Well, what if nobody ever told you about it?
I guess then, I mean, yeah, out of sight, out of mind. But if it happened like 2 weeks later and I found like this guy at work hated me and had been putting shit into like my coffee or something, I don't know how that would psychologically affect me going forward.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do. I really don't. So I'm sure this.
I mean, I do what I do with everything else. I'd bottle it up deep inside with everything else. And then after I'm dead, my fucking family will go through the bottle. You know?
See, with me, I don't think I could bottle it up. I think I would have to retaliate. I would have to get retribution. I would be compelled to get retribution. Maybe not in kind, but in some way, I would have to get revenge.
Yeah.
And I think I'd be consumed by it.
Right.
And I don't know what I would do.
Hey, we've all been consumed by revenge.
Yeah.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
So the suspect here, 62-year-old man, repeatedly clashed with his female boss. After clashing with her, the Florida man, not a big surprise there, twice placed semen into the water mug used by the victim, who consumed some of the tainted liquid.
She must have not looked in the water.
Well,
because you put semen floating in water, it's all like,
you would know. I mean,
it looks like
see
a lava
it.
Lamp. It looks like a really shitty lava lamp.
Or if someone hocked a loogie in it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Tyson, 62 years old, was charged last week with 2 counts of misdemeanor battery in connection with his alleged vile activities in the offices of a Tallahassee dermatology center. So they're co-workers here.
What's this guy's name?
Robert Tyson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Tyson has pled not guilty to the charges. However, he's still fired from his job. Which
he looks
is
like
good
a,
to hear.
He looks like a Sonny to me.
Well, that guy?
Sonny, yeah.
I kind of think he looks like a Hulk Hogan, not on steroids.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know,
I can
probably
see
not
it
as big, but he kind of has that look to him.
Yep.
But, you know, it's good. After I read this, even though his pled not guilty is on trial, I'm just glad that they fired his ass.
Mm.
Because, you know, if I heard that they're like, well, we're sending him for sensitivity training, it's like, no, you got to have a zero tolerance towards semen and drinks.
Yep.
You know, if a guy's placing semen in his drink and it's caught on camera, and you know 100% they did it, sensitivity training is not going to do anything.
Yes.
At that point.
Yes.
The 37-year-old victim here told police that while she was consuming water from her mug last month, she became aware of a distinct taste and smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Upon inspecting the inside of the mug, she observed a white-colored mucus substance floating atop the water. Barf. That's disgusting. And that the worst thing to be is that, like, if you already drank some and then you're like,
yeah,
something smells weird. And then you look at it. Ugh. The victim believed that semen had been placed into the water mug while it was unattended on her desk. The July 2nd discovery reminded the woman of an incident a week earlier when she detected a strange taste in her water and subsequently spotted a white-colored substance atop the liquid. Huh. That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing about work, too. I remember at my current job, my job before in San Francisco, I get a water bottle. I buy a water bottle, and I'll just have that same water bottle, and I'll fill it up, you know, in the kitchen, out of the water they have at the sink or whatever. Usually it's like, you know, they have water, like mineral water or whatever they do. Sure. It's not tap water. And so I'll fill it up, and I just kind of have that at my desk. But anyway, I remember going to the bathroom, and I won't bring the water bottle into my water bottle in the bathroom because there's like flying fecal matter. You don't want your water bottle in the bathroom. So I'd leave it on the water fountain right outside of the restroom.
Yeah.
And I usually did. I left it over there, did my business in the bathroom, walked out, grabbed my water bottle, left. One day I was in there doing my business. I walk out, water bottle gone.
Mm.
And I know my water bottle because I just wrote like a D on it.
Yeah.
You know, for D. And so I was like, well, what the fuck? Maybe someone threw it away or something. I mean, I guess, even though it's full, you know, whatever. A couple hours later, I noticed this guy named, I don't want to say his last name, his first name is Rob. He was a VP of marketing.
Yeah.
He had my water bottle.
Oh.
And he was drinking my water out of my water bottle. This fucking water bottle that I've had for like, I don't know, 3 months. And so then I was like faced with this, you know, the conundrum. Do I get my water bottle back?
That's, I think I know that guy. That's Rob Tuberculosis, right? The guy who's drinking your water.
Hepatitis yeah. Rob. Yeah, that guy. You know, I don't know. I was just like, dude. And I remember telling my coworkers, like, just go get it back. I'm like, first of all, the guy's a dick.
Yeah.
And second of all, I was just like, I don't want it now.
Yeah, what I would do is just get it back and throw it out.
What, just, take it off his desk?
No, be like, hey, that's my water bottle. What are you doing?
But the guy had been drinking from it. I don't even want to engage because then he's going to be disgusted that he's drinking my water bottle.
Oh, okay. Is he above you or something?
He was the VP of marketing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So the craziest thing about it, I remember just like after that incident, I was just like, I'm not going to say anything. I want to see how long this guy has my water bottle marked with a D. He had it on his desk for months.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
All right.
I never put semen in it, but I thought about it.
No.
A review of security camera footage revealed that Tyson had snuck into the woman's office on July 2nd and poured the contents of what appeared to be a specimen container into the water mug. So this wasn't like a spur of the moment thing. I mean, he this is premeditated.
Yeah.
He purposely wanked into a little container, carried that thing around and waiting for the opportune moment for it to leave and then be like, okay, time to go in there.
Yeah.
And full on Mission Impossible, that shit.
And just, he was never going to tell her about it.
I mean, I guess not. But maybe that's, there's some sexual satisfaction there because there he's is. Like, it maybe it arouses him to know that his enemy, his adversary, is drinking his seed.
Yeah. Or at the least gives him pleasure. Maybe not sexual pleasure, but.
But like a domination.
Yeah, definitely. Probably a little bit of that.
Well, she's obviously an authority figure. I mean, she's above him.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is probably the only way he can get back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The victim told police that she suspected Tyson targeted her because he thought she lacked the capability to be an effective office manager. And he had written many letters to her and her superiors indicating he was not satisfied with her particular management style.
What was his business, by the way?
Dermatologist. Well, okay. He's just an office worker, but they're okay. At a dermatology office.
Okay.
So he's not a doctor. He's a disgruntled employee come sex offender.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Because, I mean, he looks like he runs like a fucking shit kicker saloon in Tallahassee.
Or like a body shop or something.
Yeah.
Looking it's at him, weird. It's just like weird. But you know what it is? The guy's like 62.
Yeah.
And in Florida, I'm sure they like, you know, there probably is like a vocational center that places older people like this who've been out of work for a while. It's like, we need an admin assistant.
I see.
So let's just put that old guy to work.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, in a July, he eventually was canned after they reviewed the surveillance videos. They found out that it was him, and they fired him. And in a July 4th email to the company's HR manager, Tyson provided a letter of admission of guilt and a plea to end this matter quickly. I don't know if I'd have gone that route. I think I would have denied it to the bitter end. And I probably would have come up with some, you know, ridiculous explanation. Well, there's a video camera, surveillance footage of him pouring something into her drink.
Oh, then.
Well, I would have probably been like, no, I wasn't pouring anything into her drink. I thought that was my water bottle, but it turns out it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone took my water bottle. And I need my water bottle back.
Yeah, I was pouring my I thought it was mine. I poured my emergency in there or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck, you know.
I like to drink my own cum.
Right.
All
right.
And so I thought it was my water bottle pouring semen into my water bottle so I could drink it. You know, circle of life. But anyway, he fully, you know, pled guilty and he pled to end this matter quickly. He claimed that he was repulsed at the thought of my action. He was repulsed at the thought of my action. And he wrote that I put a couple of drops of semen in her water. Yes, semen. Why semen? Why semen?
Hmm.
He repeated himself. Hmm. Why put in anything at all in there? I do not know. All caps.
Wow.
I just do not know.
He knows.
It's rather dramatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you can do. I don't know how you can explain that. I mean, he's caught on video. I just blame the Russians.
Why do you blame the Russians?
Why not?
Okay.
Russians did everything.
Yeah.
They made me do it. He went on to blame his actions on exhaustion due to his work schedule, and he added that his confession was only in regards to the July 2nd incident because he had he didn't know about the new one. So he's caught twice, but he didn't know about the other one.
Hmm.
So anyway, weaponized semen. It's always the last line of attack.
Okay.
It works. It's effective.
Jesus Christ.
It's disgusting, but effective.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do. Like, if I found out about that, I would have to get revenge.
Hmm.
I would probably save up my semen for, like, a year and then just break into his house and just dump it all over his face while he's sleeping.
Yeah. Or, like, if somebody really pisses you off, you break into their backyard and then you go in their hot tub and then you milk your prostate to completion in the hot tub. That's just a little
tip. He's going to bathe in it.
You know, hey. It's outside the box, you know? Not everybody's doing that. So, all right.
That's a good idea. So what do you have here for the second story?
Woman rescued after being held in hole by village shaman for 15 years.
Well, 15 years, yeah. Huh?
That's my little B-52.
Held in a hole.
Rendition.
It's like Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill was held. Oh, the guy.
Okay. Yeah, from Science of Lambs. He put the...
For some reason, I thought the original Buffalo Bill.
Oh, no, not yeah. That Bill. Yeah.
He was hailed...
Wasn't that Wild Bill?
He was... There's two different guys.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He was hailed in a hole by the Comanche Indians for 3 years. So anyway, I get a lot of cases with shamans. This is a thing that happens.
But you have experience with shamans.
I do.
You know a couple shamans. Yep.
In a bizarre case involving alleged witchcraft, a local shaman, and a family dispute, police rescued a 28-year-old woman who had been held captive in a hole for 15 years in central Sulawesi on Sunday. This is in Indonesia.
Indonesia, huh?
Yeah.
So I imagine, like, shamans are kind of accepted there, like that's a normal thing.
Yeah.
Like, so instead of going to like a ready med, it's like, I'll go to the shaman and get cured of my flu.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, all right. Superstitious culture.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, this is just weird opening for an article. It's like involving alleged witchcraft, a local shaman, a Super Mario Brothers Happy Meal toy, a family dispute, and a local optometrist. You know, it's like anything.
Just a bunch of random things.
Yeah. The woman, identified only as HS, was found in a crevice between several large rocks near Galimpang Village. I'm going to pull up a picture.
So she was just in like, just on the mountain with the shaman. But does this guy live on Witch Mountain or something?
Yes, he lives on Witch Mountain. What was that movie, Witch Mountain?
It was a Disney movie.
Return was
called Return to Witch Mountain.
What happened in that movie?
I don't know. They had to go back to Witch Mountain for some. I don't know. I never saw that. It's a witch on a mountain. They got to go back to her.
That would be funny if they didn't have to go back to Witch Mountain in the Return of Witch Mountain. Yeah.
You would think it's like, yeah, I'm going to avoid that mountain,
right?
Because you know it just sounds witchy.
We should really return. Nah. Just go to Six Flags.
There's a bunch of other mountains we can go to.
Yeah. So, found in a crevice. Yeah. And very large rocks. They received a report that she was being hidden by an 83-year-old village shaman named Jago.
Okay. She's 15 years old.
Yeah.
She's in a rock, or in a, like a little rock hole. And there's an 83-year-old shaman named Jago. How come she doesn't push him over and walk away?
Because she's down in the hole, man.
She can't get out of the hole?
Like that old Alice in Chains song, you know?
I guess, yeah, that's true.
Well, if you look at the picture, which I have up right now for our video folks, it actually looks like fucking that I didn't see that movie because I don't see anything with that idiot, but that James Franco movie where he's like stuck between rocks and he has to cut his arm off.
That's
what it looks like. It looks kind of like that.
Oh, okay, all right.
So apparently this lady didn't want to cut her fucking arm, chew her own arm off or whatever. The victim's family had long lost hope that she would be found and had given up. But after detaining and interrogating Jago, police discovered that HS was being held in the hole, the entrance to which measured around 1 by 1.5 meters.
Well, didn't they go look on Witch Mountain where the shaman lived? Or the family just was like, ah, she can come back. We'll have another one.
Well, there's a twist.
Okay, all right,
get to that, yeah. So, we found the victim in a gap between rocks, Police Chief Iqbal Al-Qudsi said.
I can't believe you've been trying to pronounce these names. It's like all consonants. Yeah.
Iqbal said police were still investigating further, but that based on preliminary findings, they suspected that Jago was holding HS to fulfill his sexual needs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Iqbal said Jago himself had said he kept HS as a sacrifice to conjure a jinn.
A jinn.
A jinn.
It's like a genie, right?
It's a genie.
Huh.
Yeah.
So wait, he was using her to conjure up this jinn?
Yeah, she was a sacrifice to conjure the jinn. HS told police she had missed her period several times, and Jago had given her a potion to abort the fetus.
Wow, this guy can make he can do abortions as well?
Yeah.
Is he like the Planned Parenthood of Indonesia?
Yeah, he's very skilled.
Wow, God, what can't this guy do? He can conjure up genies, abort fetuses. Hell of a witch doctor.
One time I was like kind of high and I was in the McDonald's drive-through window and they had something that was like bacon Dijon something. And I honestly, for 2 minutes, I thought it said the bacon gin.
The bacon gin?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh no.
The bacon genie? He's after you.
Yeah, he's like, fucking Muslims really don't like him.
You know, it kind of amazes me that, you know, in this, I guess in like the Western world, we're just shoving coat hangers up there.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this guy's making like a potion that can abort the fetus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
God, why don't we try that?
Yeah, like, you know.
It's like, no, let's just shove a coat hanger up your, you know, up inside there.
Yeah, oh, you have restless leg syndrome? Let me summon a fire demon to take care of that. That seems appropriate. The article that he's accused of, the child protection law, forbids people from threatening, forcing, or deceiving children to participate in fornication.
Okay, so he was threatening her with the genie.
That's what they think so. He carries a maximum sentence of 15 years imprisonment. According to Iqbal, Jago was well known in the village for his traditional healing methods and was also...
On his abortion potion. I imagine that must have been pretty popular.
Yep. His abortion potion and his annual stint playing Ebenezer Scrooge in the community theater version of A Christmas Carol. He's known for a lot of stuff, you know.
He always got that part.
Was also consulted by residents who are experiencing marital, romantic, or business problems.
God, what did he make Viagra too?
And if you've ever, like, if you look up Indonesian demons, they're all, like, really fucking horrific.
Oh, really? Just like horrifying in appearance? Or are they just evil creatures?
They just look like one of them I looked up, it was like, it's just like a giant version of that crazy old lady in the bathtub in The Shining.
It's like Baba Yaga, you ever see her?
Yeah, it's like Baba Yaga, but she's got crazy long breasts that are all like go in different angles and she's like, and she, I don't know, eats children or something.
I guess I'd have sex with an old man if there was one of those conjured up above my bed.
I mean, if you're having marital troubles, that thing shows up, it'll fucking...
It's like, okay, I'm going to have sex with my wife now.
It'll fix everything. So when he treated people, Jago would act as if he was being possessed, so many people believed him.
So wait, he would be possessed by the evil spirit that's tormenting his patients, or is he like he would just become the genie?
I don't know enough about the pantheon of deities in Indonesia.
In Indonesia, wow. Okay, yeah.
So he could be possessed by a god, a fucking, you know, spirit, a loa, a, who knows, a demigod.
It sounds like he could do anything and they'll believe it.
Yeah. Village resident Sugeng says Jago was reported to have tricked HS, who was only 13 at the time, by promising to marry her to a djinn that he was friends with.
Wow, talk about gullible. Yeah. He's like, I'm friends with this genie. This guy's pretty cool. Give you a few wishes.
Yeah.
But you gotta have sex with me. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which she tried mythologicalfriendfinder.com and... That just didn't work out for her. So,
wait. So, did her parents know about all this?
Because I guess if you marry a genie, it's pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
I dream a genie. You know?
Oh yeah. Did, but
although if she was such a fucking great genie, why did Darren have to go to a shitty workaday, you know, job all the time?
Wait a second. Was Darren in that one too, or is Darren bewitched?
Oh, I always get them mixed up.
But the guy looked a lot like Darren. It's basically the same story.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Except Bewitched had Uncle Arthur and Paul Lynn.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. Paul Lynn was in Bewitched. Yeah. You know, I always had a huge crush on that genie, whoever played that. I thought she was so hot when I was a kid.
You know, my friend Jara went to some dinner party. She was there.
Oh
yeah, I mean, she, you know,
yeah. What she look like now? Mm-hmm. She have like breasts just coming out of everywhere, like snarling around.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't there. But you know, it's older, so.
What was the thing.
What was her name? It was,
I forget, but you know, like she's one of those ones
Barbara Eden. Barbara Eden.
She's one of those ones, like Barbara Eden, and who is it that played Batgirl?
God, why don't I know
this?
Is
it Eartha Kitt?
Eartha Kitt did not play Batgirl.
She played Catwoman.
It was like Stephanie...
I forget.
Something.
But they're older ladies, but I still would want to have sex with them just because I had such a huge crush on them when I was younger.
Right.
You know, even
Yvonne
though...
Yvonne Craig.
Yvonne Craig.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Barbara Eden and Yvonne Craig.
Yeah. Jago also reportedly told HS that the djinn was guarding the hole where she was hidden to stop her from leaving.
Wow. So if it was up to like staying 15 years in this hole and I could get out of it, because the hole doesn't look that deep, I'd take my chances with the genie.
I wonder, because I don't know if a djinn is a thing that they believe in. I mean, Indonesians, I guess you get some holdovers from Muslim and Middle Eastern culture there.
Yeah, I mean, Islam is like the primary religion there.
Islam is, although Islam, they don't like to talk about jinns. You know, that's kind of
but
an old,
I mean, I think
school
some
thing.
Cultures do believe in it.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, I wonder if it's just like she saw Aladdin a bunch of times. You know, like,
you know, every
you got a friend like me, and he's like, you know, Robin Williams is like, oh, hey, what? I got a thing for you. Oh, I, you know, turning into different things.
Every time you say Jago, I keep thinking of Gilbert Gottfried.
Jago.
He played the parrot.
The parrot. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if Gilbert Gottfried was guarding the hole, I'd probably stay down there.
Totally.
He's kind of a scary guy.
Mm-hmm. Shaman.
He just wants to test out some new material. It's like, nah, I'm going to stay down here, Gilbert.
Right. The victim seems to have been brainwashed, making her afraid to run away and afraid to meet other people because she was being watched by a djinn.
By Gilbert Gottfried.
By Gilbert Gottfried.
What are you doing down here? You can't leave the rock
hole. I can't do that voice. Dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-doo. He added that after HS's initial disappearance in 2003, Jago told her parents that she had seen her leave for Jakarta to find work. So,
okay,
he convinced her that she left town.
And so her parents are just kind of like, all right, you know, that's fine. Yeah. The witch doctor who lives on this creepy mountain.
Yeah.
You know,
and he would give the parents like food and money. Like, look, she made you some money. Here you go.
Oh, so he kind of carried on the ruse.
Uh huh.
Yeah, smart guy.
In another twist of the tale, the victim's sister allegedly knew about her ordeal, her sister is married to Jago's son. So the girl in the hole, sister, is married to the shaman's son. So she kept quiet until she argued with her husband and threatened to report Jago's kidnapping of her little sister.
For 15 years, she didn't say anything.
Yep.
God.
A neighbor heard her statement and reported it to the police.
One of the worst sisters ever.
Yeah, that's awful.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah.
What kind of sibling relationship is that?
Since the perpetrator was well-respected in the village, there is a possibility that there are other victims that have not yet come forward because they are afraid. So.
Yeah, you probably use that abortion potion a lot.
And they're going to have
quite
her...
quite frequently.
They're going to have bring her to a hospital and have her treated for psychological reproductive health. Who knows what kind of changes 15 years have brought her?
Yeah, she's lived in a hole for 15 years.
God damn.
Tormented by an evil djinn.
Yeah.
God, that's terrible.
That's actually a lyric from a Gravedigger song. Gravedigger's song.
Tortured by an evil djinn?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder what they're going to do to that guy.
500 years of blood, sweat, and tears.
This guy's like obviously a respected member of the village. Do they actually have a trial? Like, is there...
Yeah, I mean, there are more charges being filed. Right now, it's just like child endangerment, but there's a bunch of other shit that's coming.
But I wonder if, like, they're a superstitious culture. They think he's going to get, like, an army of djinns to come after them? Or are they going to just see through all the bullshit?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's, overwhelmed by the wicked inspirations of an evil djinn. That's actually the lyric. There you go.
Grave diggers. Uh-huh. People, send your story to cigarronpodcast@hotmail.com. We have phone calls coming up next. 323-522-4032 is that number. But first, here's a quick word from Adam and Eve.
Hey, Sick and Wrong listeners. This is Trucker Paul. I got to tell you about this wonderful porno place where you can buy jack-off machines, dildos, inflatable wives. I've bought them all. When I go home, I like to diddle my wife with a little dildo. When I'm on the road, I got my second wife, my blow-up doll, and my jack-off sleeve. Go to adamandeve.com. Type in the word diddle. D-I-D-D-L-E. And you'll get 50% off all your masturbation machines. Adios, lick my balls!
I put a spell on you.
So we have a few phone calls to get to. 323-522-4032 is that number. The first call we have... Actually, this is interesting. We have two calls with like a point counterpoint. Two conflicting views over the same issue.
Wow.
Yes, over the same issue.
Regular fucking CNN over here we got going on.
So let's play the first one. This is the point. This is Adam from the UK.
Okay.
Hi, Dave Harrison. This is Adam from the UK. I'm calling on behalf of the other listeners as well because I feel as a collective we need to stage an intervention. Harrison, you need to get a fucking job or a girlfriend or get back on the drugs or something because I feel your internet usage has gone completely out of control and it's now feeding into the podcast.
It's an epidemic.
Few episodes, I feel like I'm listening to fucking InfoWars or something. It started out with the suicide episode, which...
Oh, come on. That's kind of... That's in our wheelhouse. That. Yeah. That's in our wheelhouse.
Even your track record is not that uncommon a subject on the podcast. But then it started to get a bit weird with the whole visit to the Dolce base, whatever the fuck it's called. and from then on, the episode where you're talking about alternative realities and timelines.
Mandela effect.
Oh, but that was a long time ago. Yeah. He's talking about recent episodes. We did Mandela Effect like a couple months ago.
That's what he's talking about.
Well, I think he's also talking about like Elsagate and some of the other stuff.
He's talking about fucking Mandela Effect.
Oh, is he? All right, maybe.
It's pretty strange. And then, of course, the whole Elsagate thing. Okay. A double episode on who runs the internet and the fucking theories behind it. It's just all getting really strange. I think you were probably more sane when you were on the heroin. I don't know if you're still off it. Maybe you need to consider
that's
going
debatable.
Back on that.
Is it debatable?
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder. Were you more sane on the heroin?
I was definitely more irritable and, oddly enough, more anxious.
I think more difficult to work with when you're, like, really in the throes of heroin.
Probably, yeah.
Well, because, I mean, your timeline was off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
My timeline?
Just like your sense of time, I guess is what I meant. Yeah. Like, your sense of time. It's like, I would call you up and be like, yeah, you're supposed to come over here at 2 to do the show. And then you would, like, call me back, like, 4 hours later and be like, oh, my God, holy shit, I didn't even know. I, you know, I passed out and I woke up. And
No,
you wouldn't even know. Like, it was, like, you thought it was 2.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, actually, it's 6:30, and now I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
Or maybe something else.
Maybe. To be fair, that happened once, maybe twice.
Okay. Yeah, maybe a couple times. But I can understand when you're, like, on a, you know, doing a lot of drugs regularly. It's like your sense of time. Is off.
You need a girlfriend. Maybe you just need a job. But you definitely need to stay off the internet. And D, you need to stop enabling him. You're even worse for indulging the fucking strangeness that Harrison is finding on the internet. So yeah, sort it out. Keep it sick, keep it wrong. Have a good time in Edinburgh. Banshee's Labyrinth is a pretty sick venue. I've been there a couple of times myself. Yeah, have a good
Looking
one.
Looking forward to that.
Bye.
Well, thanks for the constructive criticism.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, it's fair.
to be honest, there's a couple other people I've noticed on Facebook have also been commenting, like, enough of the conspiracy. Mm. Like, I think maybe it's too much to process. You know, maybe it's just too much. Like, you, like, it's so mind expanding that you feel threatened by it.
I mean, you know, we're trying to make it funny. And I mean, to be honest, it is kind of like we've kind of decided to slightly go in a new direction. It's not that new, to be honest.
No, I mean, no,
we've always talked about weird bullshit. That's
It's
been the thing. You know, we need to increase. We're trying to increase the listener base. All right. Without losing the current listener base. That's what we're trying to do.
Which it has happened. Yeah. Actually, our download statistics for July are actually up quite a bit because of some of these new topics.
Yeah.
But with me, it's like, I'm always kind of looking for new areas with the show. And I mean, you know, sure, we're going to do our crime stories. Sure, we're going to do phone calls and things like that. But with the intro, I actually, you know, appreciate you coming, you know, doing all this research, finding all these topics. And it's new things to talk about. Sure. Yeah, we do get into the pedophile conspiracies a lot recently. we're gonna space that one out. However, I do find it kind of interesting. Like, Elsagate is some weird shit, and there's a lot of weird shit on the internet, and you know, in the internet in general, but just in the world in general.
Yes.
And so I think it's the instead of like InfoWars, who's espousing this bullshit, we're exposing and trying to make sense of it in a sense, you know, in a way.
Yeah, and. You know, somebody actually on YouTube just commented, it's called Sick and Wrong, not Cool and Calm, Bellend.
Cool and calm.
Cool and calm. You know what I'm saying?
Soft and warm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember we did that. So. But, you know, I can understand it. It's like after a while, it's just like, oh, God, another pedophile conspiracy again.
Sure.
So I get it. But however, you can see how that's kind of related because a lot of these conspiracies are fueled by this paranoia of people stealing your children, and we're kind of drawing connections to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and we're trying to do a little, something a little different to because there's so much all these crazy shit things that people are talking about on 4chan and Reddit. 3 months later, are like on CNN.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like people believe in them, and it's like this is the new reality. So get the fuck used to it, man. Get the fuck used to it.
Well, the other thing too. It's also like in this podcast world, You know, I mean, Sick and Wrong could have been, and we probably should have been, a true crime podcast like from the get-go, and we probably would be much more successful. But, you know, I think it's kind of boring when it's like this one-dimensional thing, and there's so many podcasts out there now. It's like, okay, we're going to read a description of Jeffrey Dahmer. Now we're going to do 4 episodes on Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
And everybody has a big fucking boner about that. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, sure, we'll talk about a serial killer here and there, you know, every now and then. But I kind of want to do something different. And yeah. I think that's kind of what we're trying to go for. Though I do understand, it can get weird.
It can get weird.
And Elsa Gate is weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're trying to make it as entertaining as possible. If we're not doing it, let us know. You know?
Put it this way, people. We're podcasting without a safety net here, okay?
We are. We are.
When you're free flying with Sick and Wrong, who knows where you are?
The reason I started doing this, because I was tired of D being like looking at all these other podcasts that are making like fucking like $30,000 a month on Patreon, being like, these motherfuckers, they're serial killers.
That's what I look all night at the internet.
And I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me try this. You know, because he's like, I'll shut it down. I'll shut the whole thing down. I swear to God. You know?
And I'm just so jealous.
So, you know, I'm trying to dance around here.
However, you know? I do find this stuff pretty interesting. We've got a lot of positive feedback, such as this next caller, also named Adam, but he's from Tokyo.
Okay. Okay, kids.
Dueling Adams.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Sick and Wrong. It's Adam from Tokyo. It's been a long time since I called you guys. I only call you when I'm absolutely fucking hammered, and tonight is no exception. I love the new episode. Don't be afraid to have a theme, brothers.
See?
Finder's theme is really interesting. It's good. Okay, but getting away from that.
There you go. There are some people that are actually really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's some weird shit that you probably have never heard of, nor have ever even thought about.
Yeah, and the big problem with this podcast was that whenever people were like, oh, what's your podcast about? I had no fucking idea what to say. It's like, well, we sometimes do crime and we talk about our personal lives and there's news stories. And it's like...
I always say crime news, weird news, occult news, stuff like that. Yeah. Which, that's the thing. We've always been a kind... I mean, it's not that big of a deviation from the norm. We always talked about weird shit. But now we're expanding to find new weird shit that I guarantee will be talked about in the mainstream media like 6 months from now. You know?
And you could trust me because I don't have an agenda.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to sell you like... you know, doomsday fucking bulk up weight powder or whatever the fuck they do on InfoWars.
Well, yeah, you know? Well, that's the thing. Like, InfoWars is talking about this shit so he can sell money for his ads. That guy doesn't believe any of his bullshit. Yeah. But he espouses all these conspiracy theories. He perpetuates the conspiracy theories. What we're trying to do is analyze them.
Yeah.
Figure out what they mean and why they exist.
I don't give a shit about anything and I like weird stuff. So that's all my only agenda.
I'm calling because of the incredibly offensive term that D said, where he said, was it Greek shower? No, Cuban shower to wash what some British people call the pits and bits.
When did I say that?
You did say that an episode or two ago.
I'm sorry, I meant Puerto Rican shower.
I always thought it was a Mexican shower.
Shower. I thought it was a Puerto Rican shower.
No, I thought it was a Mexican shower.
And a Cuban shower.
I've always
heard
it as a Mexican shower.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. All right.
So what I found is that every country has their own racist term for this thing. They'll say Turkish shower or Italian shower or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
But the idea is the pits and bits. You wash your dick and your balls and your armpits.
That's like when you stay overnight at the office, and then the next day you're like, all right, I gotta get to
I noticed this at not my current job as much. You still kind of see it, but my old job, we had a lot of guys from India over there, and you'd walk by and you just smell Axe body spray. Because I think that's what you do. You spray your pits and bits.
That's what they used to do in medieval times.
You would spray with perfume. Axe body spray?
Yes, Axe body spray.
Arthur, do you have any Axe?
Yeah.
Axe body spray?
Yeah, that'll be 2 episodes from now. We're going to do Time Traveling Bros. Real or myth?
That brought Axe body spray back to the Arthurian days.
Only with like maybe a fucking hooker towel, like a wipe, you know? A fucking wipe. So what I want to say is, what about the other people around the world who call into Sick and Wrong, all these Brits and all these European people, what do you call it? I'm sure everyone has their own super fucking racist, problematic as fuck name for it.
You know, I bet you the Brits call it a Scottish shower. And the Scots call it a limey shower or something.
Yeah.
Well, what do Scottish people call the English people?
Cunts.
The Irish people probably are like, oh yeah.
When I went out with a bunch of Scottish people, some of them were not fans of the podcast or something, but they'd heard of it. And so for those people, I was just referred to as that podcast cunt.
Oh, you know, actually I've been called worse.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
It's all right. I'm fine with it.
In Australia and like certain areas of the UK, to be called cunt is kind of a term of endearment.
Right.
So.
This is Tokyo. I'm out. Peace.
All right.
Okay, kids.
Well, thank you there, Adam from Tokyo. So there you go. Two conflicting views from two Adams. Will the Adams ever agree? Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. Tune in next week.
Adams versus Chads.
But there you go. Thank you, Adam from Tokyo. Always good to hear from you. And yeah, I guess if you have your own racist term for not taking a full shower and just spraying your pits and bits, what do you call it? Is that what you usually do, or do you usually take a full shower?
Sometimes I just jump in the pool.
Just jump in the pool and just the chlorine kills the germs? Uh-huh. That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
But you don't need to shower every day.
No, I don't usually.
Especially if you don't have a job to go to every day.
The only time I'd shower every day is if I go work out or something, or from outside. Dude, it's like fucking, that's the thing. It's like 98 degrees. You know, I think right now in LA, outside, it's like 96 degrees.
It's burned all the sanity out of my mind.
You know?
Yeah.
And people might notice that the sound from the call section is a little bit different from what we just did, because we had the air conditioning on, which normally we shut off.
We never do. We're such pros normally. But it's been so, like, air conditioning has just been on constantly for the last, like, 3 months.
I've just had it on, like, you know, because in this room in particular, it gets like a sauna. Like, if we didn't have it on, I'd have been melting to death. You know, I've been melting. We'd have been covered in sweat. And so I just didn't even think about it. I was going to shut it off. I just didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to, like, equalize it. Or you can usually do stuff to minimize it. But you're going to hear a difference in sound from...
Yeah.
You know, the calls and the intro versus now.
So used
now.
To hearing the fucking thing, I don't even notice it anymore. Because normally we turn it off, and then by the time I walk out of here, I look like the fucking Nazi that looked at the Ark of the Covenant, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like I'm just melting, just covered in sweat. Yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah.
Anyway, last call we have here is a guy who has a story about some mushrooms.
I saw Mushroom Head. What's it? Fucking can song about Mushroom Head or something?
No, it's just called Mushroom, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Sick and Wrong? I'm calling back because I was on the fucking expressway earlier and fucking dodging traffic while trying to call you.
Do you say that? Do you use that term expressway?
No.
Because I use that. I use that, and people are always like, what is that?
Is that because you're from the Midwest?
I don't know. Like, where do people use that? Because what do you say? Freeway? Highway?
Highway.
I don't where expressways from, but my dad used to say, so I'm always like, oh yeah, I was on the expressway. And it's like, people make fun of me here for saying that. I'm interested to know where this guy's from.
Also, he was just like, I was on the expressway dodging trap. He made it sound like he was fucking Frogger or something. You know? So.
But anyway, so I was calling in reference to the story.
So I jumped on an alligator, but it turns out its mouth was open, so then I died.
And then this turtle just fell in the water, and then...
last week about the guy who was injecting scrotums or whatever the fuck and shit on his girlfriend's face and murdered her or whatever.
He was injecting a drug called, like, Skeletica or, like, Scutum.
Oh, that guy.
He was not... There was no scrotums involved.
Skeletium. And then he, like, murdered her, and then he shit into her face.
Yeah.
And then put, like... didn't he put, like, potato chips around her or something?
Something like that,
Yo,
I heard Darnell took Skeletia to the prom and shit on her face.
Damn.
Yeah.
And I had kind of a similar story about a time that I did mushrooms. Basically, I did these mushrooms, they're called pancyanensis, and they're like super fucking potent little mushrooms. Like normally when you get mushrooms from some dude, you're getting Salathabi chubensis, which are, you know, just your average fucking mushroom.
He's just saying like a bunch of words I've never heard before.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're kind of a drug aficionado.
Yeah.
I've heard of psilocybin.
Yeah.
But he's like saying strains of mushrooms.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I got Panja Marindo. And then, but these guys, they usually do Pazzabanato Cenge.
And I got the Arthur Fonsarelli's. I don't know if you've tried that. You know, I remember they don't sell mushrooms now in Amsterdam. I think they stopped because people started killing themselves by jumping in the canals. But when I first
went... They don't sell them anymore?
No, they've been...
I thought they still do the truffles or something.
No, the mushrooms have been banned for...
Fucking gay.
Quite a few years. Huh. I think it's because a tourist took them and like drowned in a canal. But when I was first there in like 2000, I remember going there and they had like, do you want the purple mushrooms? Do you want the blue mushrooms? Do you want these yellow ones? And it was just like... I was just used to eating mushrooms that grew on cow shit in a field in Michigan.
Yeah.
So I remember being quite overwhelmed when I saw that. And yeah, the blue mushrooms we did, very potent. So I don't know what they were.
Have you ever done mushrooms you just found, like in a field?
Yeah. And so that's how we used to do it.
Oh, okay. I've never done that.
Have you ever done that? Like you'd go and you'd pick it and it'd be in cow shit and you'd wash it off and just eat it.
Maybe I should look in England when I'm there.
Yeah, I would go with someone who's done it before. I've never done it by myself. I went with people who have done it before.
Yeah, I don't want to end up eating like...
Yeah.
These were like super fucking mushrooms. Like I did a gram. I think we did a gram each, me and my girlfriend. And we both just straight up fucking pissed ourselves and then like fucking melted into the center of the universe and proceeded to have a conversation in Glossolalia for, a good, I don't know, hour or so, you know.
Glossolalia?
Is that another kind of mushroom?
I think it was a language.
This guy's making this up. I don't believe any of this. He's a QAnon guy.
There's a lot of weird shit in here, you know?
Yeah.
That I don't fully... Glossolalia.
That's what he's saying is
some kind of a...
It's a language?
Is it what they speak in, like... fucking Westeros or something like
Gulliver's Travels. I don't know.
Glossolalia. Well, my internet's not working, so it's fine. All right. Well, let's hear the rest.
Well, time fucking gets distorted or whatever. But it was fucking weird. It was fucking weird. Some mind melding going on there for sure. But anyway, so. Towards the end of the trip, like, she came down before I did, and I'm, like, still in this fucking mushroom haze, thinking, like, you know, like, what the fuck is going on? I'm going to be like this forever. And then she wasn't fucking trip anymore, so she was, like, not in my fucking sphere of whatever. And so my mind was basically telling me that I had to kill her because she was a mushroom demon.
Was this his girlfriend? Or was this a friend of his?
I think it was just a friend that he was tripping with. But this is getting similar to that story of that guy in South Africa.
Yeah. And that was the only way I was going to like break the spell and be back to normal. Obviously, I didn't act on that because I'm calling you today. But that's the thing that can happen. So be careful when you're fucking playing with drugs, kids. And as for microdosing... I have a suggestion. If you get some capsules, single zero or double zero capsules, double zero might be too much for you since you're a fucking sensitive bitch, apparently. But single zero capsules, grind your mushrooms up and stuff those motherfuckers in there, get a pill filler on Amazon, and you're good to go. Anyway, there you go. Don't do drugs, kids. And, take it easy. Bye.
Cautionary tale.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. He's saying grind them up and put them into a capsule.
Well, I did grind them up. I got a coffee grinder specifically for the purpose of that. Because that way I'm not fucking around like, oh, is this a... Because, you know, the potencies are different for the stems and the caps. So just mix them all together. That way I don't have to worry about that.
You grind it into a powder?
Yeah.
And then you put them in a...
I measure it on a digital scale. And then usually, like yesterday, I took 0.15 grams.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And how long did
you... And I could put him in a capsule. I don't know what the fucking advantage of that is, to be honest.
Well, you probably ingestion. I mean, you swallow it, ingest it quicker. I mean, what are you doing? I just
put it in my mouth.
And just eat it.
Lick my finger and just fucking eat the powder.
Yeah,
like makes sense. Like an Indian, you know?
Mm. I don't know. Maybe it would make a difference if you're swallowing a pill versus doing that.
So,
well, that's interesting. So, are the mushrooms? I thought they were like kind of moist. No, are they very dry?
The ones you buy from dealers are dry.
They're always dry. Tend to be, that's true. And so, when you do that, when you do the 0.15, how long does that last? Or how long do you feel the effects?
Like 8 hours.
8 hours.
Yeah. And it's weird because it kind of peaks towards the end. It starts to peak like after 6 hours.
You know, it's been a while since I've done mushrooms, but like when I used to do mushrooms, we'd eat like an eighth.
Yeah, no, I used to eat like half an eighth when I was.
Talking in the course of a day, we'd do an eighth.
Oh, I see.
Like half, we'd probably do like a quarter of the eighth in the beginning, and then we'd eat some more, and it'd usually be like, yeah, I guess half an eighth because I'd usually do it with another person.
I mean, I'm trying to get doses where I could like, you know, potentially do it and drive and go to like work if I did go to work, which I don't. So that's what I'm trying to do. But everything's also kind of magic.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever, under the influence of a hallucinogenic, ever felt like violent thoughts like that?
No. I felt like I need to get away from this traffic because it's loud and scary.
Well, you should be driving.
Yeah.
Were you driving?
No, I was just walking down the street.
Walking around,
yeah. And it was loud.
I remember being freaked out in New York, taking a subway train and being like, wow, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen. I'm like two hits of acid. I don't know if you should be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's been working great for me. I got to maybe lessen the dose if I actually have stuff to do that day so I can drive and, you know, do normal things in the course of a day.
But I can honestly say I've been annoyed
yeah.
and I've left, you know, the area where the annoyance occurred, but I don't think I've ever had homicidal impulses.
Never.
So this guy that's calling that was like thinking this is the mushroom demon that I must murder might be you, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, he sounded like he was on like a heavy dose of some potent mushrooms.
Sure.
Maybe you're out of your mind. I've had that same feeling where it's like, this is it. I've done too many hallucinogenics and I'm going to be like this forever now. And this is what my future is going to be. And then I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm fucked now. And I've had that feeling before, but I've never had like, God, I want to stick a knife into her face and carve her eyeballs out because she's a demon or whatever. Yeah. You know, I've never had that thought doing mushrooms. So anyway, I guess I'm probably not going to trip with this caller. I don't think, I mean, I've said this before on the show, the reason I don't do hallucinogenics as much, not even as much, at all, really. I don't really do, I mean, I did mushrooms not that long ago and had a decent time, but I didn't do that many. But the reason I don't do hallucinogenics anymore is I feel like as you age, you accrue mental baggage.
Yeah.
And you focus on that. When I was like 16, I lived in my parents' basement. Fuck yeah, I did a lot of acid and I did a lot of mushrooms back then because it was a lot of fun. But now I would start thinking about like, why don't I own a home, you loser?
I wouldn't do fucking acid, but mushrooms, I find it gets rid of my baggage.
Yeah, but do you think if you did like half an eighth?
I don't
you
know.
You might, yeah. Like I'm thinking microdosing, maybe it's like you get the fun, you know, elation of doing hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
But I bet you if you like, I mean, I think part of me, like part of my philosophy on drug use, and I'm sure you can agree with me on this, it's like the Hunter S. Thompson sentiment. It's like, I just want to get as fucked up as I can to alter reality, to do as many drugs as I can at one time. And that, I mean, I think it's because I read Fear and Loathing when I was like in high school, and then I was like, yeah, this would be awesome.
I've kind of moved past that. Most of my drug use these days is just utter compulsion.
These days, but I'm saying when I was like 16.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
That's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would eat as many mushrooms as possible.
I've read William S. Burroughs. And
fuck
like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you grow out of that. You do. Right. I think it's a necessary, you know, part of experimentation with your youth. But I mean, by the age 40, I'm not doing a head full of fucking mescaline anymore.
No, I'm trying to do this so I can like live a life and not be fucking trying to think about suicide every 30 seconds.
But to be honest, it sounds like it's actually helping you.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So we'll see. Hopefully you find a good dose. Anyway, I'm going to look up to see if those are real mushroom strains, like whatever he was saying.
Yeah, I couldn't even understand it.
Like the Bobarino and the Horshack, whatever it is. Anyway, people call Sick Run Hotline, 323-522-4032. We got to get going. We're going to see in a couple days people in Scotland, Northern England. We're going to be performing August 14th at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in the chamber room of the Banshee Labyrinth. I know a lot of people out there RSVP'd. That list is full. I'm not quite sure how many people are allowed in the venue, but I'm sure everybody could get in. And if you can't get in, maybe you stand in the back, and if not, we're going to be hanging out after the show.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, we didn't say this before, but we're not actually doing an episode of Sick and Wrong. We're actually just doing our cover band called the Judith Light Orchestra, which is Electric Light Orchestra songs, but they're all about who's the boss.
Yeah, the whole thing is who's the boss.
That's our whole jam.
Yeah. Harrison's bringing his banjo. I'm actually going to have an acoustic guitar as well as some drums.
Yeah.
And a harmonica. It's going to be a good time.
And Jeff Lynn's supposed to be. I mean, he said he'd be there. So
I would love to see if that actually happens. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. So anyway, it's going to be a good time. And we're going to be, I've heard people talk about like the whole city's kind of going crazy. And I know we've had a couple fans that have written in saying like there's a bunch of bars afterwards that we can go check out. So even if you can't make it, come meet us over at the Banshee Labyrinth and we're going to party that night. And also we post an event on Facebook for August 17th, Friday. We're going to be in London and we're going to do another meetup at the World's End in Camden.
Friday,
so if you can't make it up to Edinburgh, let's hang out in London.
Why not?
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. You know, it's funny because my girlfriend's going. And she's the first time she's ever been in Europe. And I was like,
really?
Yeah, she's never been to Europe. Okay. And she's coming out, flying into London. And I was telling her, I was like, maybe you want to come the 18th. Because I don't know if you want to deal with a fan meetup.
Yeah.
Because it can get kind of crazy. Mm. And she's like, no, I want to check it out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, we're going to be meeting up with people in Scotland August 14th. At the Banshee Labyrinth, Sick and Wrong Podcast Live. It'll be a good time. And then we'll also get to hang out with some of the Londoners on August 17th. Looking forward to it.
That went really well for me last time I did that.
Yeah, it always does. Mm-hmm. People, support the show by becoming a Sick and Wrong patron. We really do appreciate that. It actually helps us do stuff like going out to London and flying out to Edinburgh. I mean, we paid for that with all the Patreon money that we've earned. Mm-hmm. And we do appreciate that. Just go to patreon.com/sickandwrong. We're giving you 30 to 40 minutes of extra content every week, not to mention other extra shit, such as the new Quado Sick and Wrong tees that we're going to be setting out.
Yeah.
So patreon.com/sickandwrong. We really do appreciate the support. Finally here, Sick and Wrong Song of the Week. This guy Brian wrote in, and he said, you mentioned them a couple weeks ago when talking about foreign rap, the ant word. Fatty Boom Boom for Song of the Week. Support your fellow South Africans. Plus the video is definitely, I've never seen anyone spell the word definitely like this. Sick and Wrong. Come on, Brian. Everybody knows that song.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Deanne Ward's a great band. I've seen him perform.
Yeah.
I do. For some reason, I'm strangely attracted to Yolandi Busser.
Fatty Boom Boom's a great video.
And the Fatty Boom is a great video, but everybody knows it.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's Sick and Wrong.
No.
I don't think it's Sick. You know what I think is Sick and Wrong?
They were in a fucking movie.
Yeah. It's like it's in a movie, Chappie. Yeah. That sounds Sick and Wrong.
Fucking Short Circuit 2 ripoff, by the way.
It is kind of, actually. Yeah. It's a decent movie. What I do find Sick and Wrong is a song that Harrison recommended here.
Yeah.
A song called Rape by the Rippers. Mm. This is a bubblegum pop song from 1971 called Rape by a band called the Rippers.
Yes.
So that, Brian, is actually Sick and Wrong.
Yeah. And it's one of those ones I just randomly found on my iTunes the other day. And it was like, where did this come from?
Yeah, I was about to say, did you download it?
I must have at some point.
Do they have an album?
I don't. I'm certainly they don't. They probably had a 145. You know.
Well, I got it. I saw it on YouTube. I was listening to it, but just a very bizarre song.
Oh, real weird.
Definitely Sick and Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're gonna end the show here with the Rippers' Rape. Thank you, Brian, for emailing the show. People will be back next week with episode 648.
Sure.
Wow, 648.
Yeah.
Crazy. Until then, take it sleazy.
Help! SOS! Police! Rape!
Your shirt says, "The storm is here, QAnon." What does that mean to you?
Well, I've been following all the posts since October 28th.
On the internet, from QAnon.
Right, started on 4chan.
The person or people who say they're Q.
Right.
What do you think Q is, by the way?
It's an entity of 10 or less people
involved with the government?
High clearance, you know, security clearance.
And how do you know that?
Well, I'm just telling you, this is what it appears to be.
What it appears to be. So you don't have any proof of that. That's what you're guessing it is.
And you don't have any proof there, is it?